Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here at Wretched Radio, it's our desire to be encouraging, and that's why we'd like to talk about hell. This is Wretched Radio. In studio, Dr. Steve Lawson. He is the Grand Poobah of One Passion Ministries. He is also the editor of Expositor Magazine, and I hold almost in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers a copy of the latest edition of Expositor Magazine dedicated to the cheery subject of hell, which you would actually say can be an encouraging doctrine. Why is hell, in our wildest imaginations, nevertheless encouraging?
Well, it's encouraging because it's a necessary component of God's holiness. If God is a God of love, he must also be a God of hate. And you cannot have one without the other. And it is encouraging for us to see the subject of hell because we see what God has saved us from. He hasn't saved us from insecurity or loneliness or things like that. He has actually saved us from his eternal wrath in a real place called hell. It's also encouraging in that it spurs our evangelism and motivates us to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because hell is more real than whatever city you live in, and it is a place that will last forever and ever and ever. And it is also encouraging because it is the place of God's vengeance. So therefore, we do not need to take vengeance against anyone. Vengeance belongs to God, and God will execute perfect justice on that last day, and it will last throughout all eternity.
Most people that you will try to witness to on a university campus, if you said, what is your number one objection to believing in God? It's the issue of evil. How does hell help us explain to that person the necessity of evil?
Well, because God is a good God and a holy God and a righteous God, he must punish evil. And it is necessary that there is a place such as hell for God to settle his accounts throughout all eternity. If there was not a hell, then we would wonder, is God a good God? Can God just wink at evil and do nothing? No, God is a decisive God of action, and God will take action on the last day and serve his justice. In fact, already there are souls in hell this very moment who are suffering the torment of the damned because they have sinned against the high courts of heaven.
All right, so to put this into an evangelistic context, we can explain why evil exists because it demonstrates God's character, his nature, his salvific power through Jesus Christ. And so he has a very acceptable explanation for his ordaining of evil. But bringing in the component of hell to say, if evil really concerns you, if you really hate evil, guess what? God does too. And he's prepared a place for all of those people who do evil. And so I think we can almost use it as a bit of an apologetic for the accusation of evil on the planet. Don't you worry. God wins. He settles the score. And as you rightly said, it motivates us then to evangelize. And I don't think this can be overlooked, Dr. Lawson, for the individual who has been hurt by an evil deed. The doctrine of hell really can be a comfort to that person. How?
Well, there is great pastoral comfort, actually, in this doctrine of hell. If you have suffered, let's say, child abuse, you have suffered physical abuse from a spouse, and you have had no recourse, you were defenseless, it is greatly encouraging to know that God has taken note, and that God has kept impeccable records, and the books will be opened on the last day, and God will execute his justice and his judgment, and there will be a settling by God in a place called hell. So therefore, you can rest in the truth that God will step in and God will vindicate the wrong that you have suffered.
Yeah, it can heal.
Yes.
And when pondered correctly, then, and this is difficult, and I think it needs to be rightly timed, but for the individual who has been wounded and perhaps is harboring bitterness or feeling emotional effects from this, you can actually move from not just not being angry, but to beginning to actually pity the person and then to care for the person as you consider hell is a long time. And anybody who goes there is going to experience eternal conscious torment. And it can actually move the wounded heart to a healed heart, to a compassionate heart for that person. That is the power of preaching on the doctrine of hell rightly done. Now, if that subject has not perhaps been preached in your church for, ever, or very rarely, would like to encourage you this day to consider getting a subscription to Expositor Magazine. Dr. Lawson, that is your publication from One Passion Ministries. We're offering it for their pastors, and we will give to the person who gets it for their pastor Drive-By Theology, featuring you, which is 40, give or take, systematic theology lectures that you and I did together. So the giver gets that gift, and your pastor gets Expositor Magazine. You can do that at wretched.org/magazine, wretched.org/magazine. The brand new edition is on the doctrine of hell. What were you thinking, man? That's not gonna set them on fire. Well, no pun intended.
Well, yeah. Well, here's what we need to remember: the person in the Bible who had more to say about hell was the Lord Jesus Christ. I cover every verse in the Bible on hell in this edition, and it is so weighted heavily upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because he came at it from every different direction. And we normally think of Jesus as one who is offering joy and hope, which he was. But he had more to say about hell than anyone else in the Bible. And listen to this, he had more to say about hell than he did about heaven. And so it was a powerful part of the preaching ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to preach like Jesus, then you will preach on hell and use it in a positive way. And let me just say this, Todd. We should never apologize for the doctrine of hell. And we should never say, well, this is the dark side of God. There is no dark side of God. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no darkness in God, and there is no dark side of God. And the doctrine of hell is a part of the pure, pristine, flawless holiness of Almighty God.
Preach it positively so it reflects rightly on the character and the nature of God, and it is preached reasonably because, let's be honest, we've seen some bad hell preaching, typically out on the streets. Somebody has a placard, and it literally will say, turn or burn. Is that a reasonable message?
Well, that message is true. It's not what is being said. It's probably how it is being said.
And what's not being said.
And what's not being said. So what they are saying is not heretical. What they are saying is most probably true. It's what's not being said and how this is being said is what is hurting. But turn or burn simply means repent.
But when that's the only context that you have,
yeah,
it feels very unreasonable to the pagan who walks by because they believe that they're pretty good. And I've also noticed, though, Steve, people tend to gloss over the doctrine of hell in their evangelistic preaching, not
yes.
out on the streets, but in the pulpit.
Yes.
And I think it actually begins because they kind of gloss by the character and the nature of God.
Absolutely. The holiness of God demands a place called hell. The righteousness of God demands a place called hell. The wrath of God demands a place called hell. The love of God demands a place called hell. The eternality of God demands a place called hell. The immutability of God demands a place called hell. The sovereignty of God, etc. We can go through all of the power of God. All the attributes of God demands a place called hell. And so we actually mar our knowledge of God if we try to air condition hell, or if we try to neuter the effect of preaching on hell. You have actually diluted the potency of who God is.
Yeah, and we use terms rightly understood. Well, you're just going to be separated from God. But now let's get to asking Jesus into your heart. Well, you're separated, if you will, from the goodness of God, but he most certainly is present with his wrath. And so hell, preached positively in its correct doctrine, is indeed a benefit to the believer and to the unbeliever. Would like to encourage you, please consider getting a subscription to this magazine. This particular edition is about the doctrine of hell and how your pastor can preach it rightly, as well as perhaps begin down the path of expository preaching. Our offer for you today: go to wretched.org/magazine, get a subscription for him. We'll send you drive-by theology, and all those big fancy words that you used will be explained in drive-by theology, and your pastor will benefit from Expositor Magazine. You can do that for him and for yourself. Wretched.org/magazine. This is Wretched Radio. Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working, and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day, literally every day. People are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
Let me share a sample from our latest evangelistic resource, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus Is God. Christianity is not a blind faith. It's an eyewitness faith. The Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. The Man Who Split Time is perfect for any skeptic in your life. Whether it's for evangelizing, giving it to your agnostic friend, or handing out to your youth group, The Man Who Split Time will give you all the answers you need about the deity of Jesus Christ. For more awesome proofs that Jesus is God, all you have to do is visit wretched.org/time and order your copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus Is God. Get your copies today. wretched.org/time. That's wretched.org/time.
If and you are a preborn.org/wretched supporter, providing ultrasounds and even ultrasound machines, this is a great big thank you from South Florida.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room because our mission is to save lives, save souls in South Florida. And in this very room, that specific thing happens. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way. Thank you for your ministry to the unborn.
Ultrasounds save lives, but preborn clinics need ultrasound machines first. If you could provide a machine, or if you could provide a $28 ultrasound, whatever it is, your support for preborn, it saves lives, it saves souls, it saves families. You can become a preborn supporter at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Books of the Bible. God told Hosea the prophet to marry a prostitute to illustrate Israel's unfaithfulness to God and God's faithful love for Israel. When Hosea's wife returned to prostitution and was enslaved, he bought her back and loved her. When you are mistreated and abandoned, remember that is how you treated God. But if you turn to God, He will forgive you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, man. This is...
this is left the building.
Wretched Radio. Good thing we're going to talk about this to get you off of that. Dr. Steve Lawson in studio with us talking about hell. People perceive it as a not cheery doctrine, and it most certainly isn't. And yet, it should be preached. It must be preached because it ultimately is a positive doctrine because of the light it sheds on God Himself. Would like to encourage you to please get a subscription to Expositor Magazine for your pastor. He will be encouraged if he's an expositor, and he will be encouraged to become one if he isn't. It will give him the skills and the courage to stick to the text and even preach the hard doctrines like the doctrine of hell, which is this particular edition, the doctrine of hell, which I almost hold like the other subscriptions. Has it even been printed yet?
It's on the printing press, and it is, as we are speaking, it is coming off the assembly line.
And you wrote this entire edition of the magazine. Now, normally it has Dr. John MacArthur. It has profs from good seminaries around the country.
Yeah, people like Sinclair Ferguson, Derek Thomas, John Piper, people like that, very notable people. But this was so strong on my heart, Todd, that I decided I'm going to write the entire issue. And so it's about 13,000 words, 14,000 words, something like that.
So it's going to be your next book, just be honest. All right. I want to jump into the doctrine of hell because most people blanch when you talk about it. We'd rather not, because it isn't a pleasant thought to think about even loved ones who will be receiving eternal conscious torment. And yet, it must be preached, and you give about 37 reasons why. Let's tackle a few of them. First of all, it's in the Bible. So that should be the end of the debate.
You know what you call a hellfire brimstone preacher?
A biblical preacher.
A Bible preacher.
There you go. Pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in the Bible. It's inescapable.
So if your pastor is doing expository preaching, he's going to bump into it.
Yes.
And if it's always topical, nothing wrong with the occasional topical sermon, but you can just dance right around this doctrine and a lot of other toughies.
Yeah, for decades.
But it's in the Bible. Hell magnifies the cross, reason two.
Well, because Jesus endured the torment of the damned upon that cross, and only those who are already in hell can even begin to comprehend the torment that he suffered upon the cross. It was much more than just a physical suffering upon the cross. There were thousands of people who were crucified upon crosses. Josephus said they ran out of trees in Jerusalem upon which to crucify terrorists and known criminals. So many were physically suffering, but none ever bore the sins of his people upon the cross, and none ever suffered the wrath of God unleashed upon them except the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he suffered what you and I would suffer in an eternity in hell. It was placed upon him as he came under the wrath of Almighty God, and the full force of the fury and the vengeance of God came down hard upon his son. And Isaiah 53 says that the Father crushed the Son under the full force and omnipotence of his wrath.
All righty then. You are passionate about it. People would say it doesn't make sense. One man on a cross, 3 hours, paid for eternity in hell for everybody who believes in him. The math doesn't stack up.
Well, it's not up to you to decide what is right and what is wrong. If it's in the Bible, it is true, whether you understand it or not. And we're not going to reduce the mind of God down to a little formula such that we can explain everything. Every doctrine that is taught in the Bible has element of mystery to it that is beyond our comprehension. How Jesus could be truly God and yet truly man is beyond our comprehension. How the book of Romans could be the word of God and yet it is penned by the Apostle Paul is beyond our comprehension. How God can be one God yet three persons is far beyond our comprehension. And so how Jesus in 3 hours upon the cross from 12 noon until 3 in the afternoon could suffer in the place of a vast number of people and experience their torment, certainly it's beyond our comprehension. But just because we can't fully understand it does not mean we do not believe it, because there are many things, virtually, I won't say everything, but parts of everything that we don't understand.
Now, see, some people would hear that and go, yikes, then it's not trustworthy. I would argue just the opposite.
Yes, because if you could understand God, and if you could understand everything that God teaches, then God's on your level. No, God's not on your level. God is high and lifted up, and His ways are far beyond our ways. His thoughts above our thoughts. You could not trust a God that you could completely comprehend. That would mean He is on your level. No, God is transcendent and far exceeds us. And so the fact that we can't wrap our arms around this completely should be of comfort to us.
When people bring that up, that they are confused about, for instance, the doctrine of sanctification. So who's responsible? Well, you are, but it's all the Holy Spirit. So it can cause your brain to get a little muddled. It should actually encourage us, because if we can totally get everything or frankly anything about God, we would be God and He wouldn't be. And so it's an encouragement that there must be a level of transcendence that we just can't comprehend. All right, back to the doctrine of hell.
Mm-hmm.
In your magazine, you are writing about it is a place of fire. It is the destination of false teachers. It is the place for unbelievers. It is a place of destruction. Not real cheery stuff. Hell destroys the entire person.
Yeah.
What is that one about?
Yeah, well, it is that not only is there the physical suffering of torment in fire, but there is also the mental torment of remembering back upon your life every opportunity that you had to commit your life to Christ. And you squandered those opportunities. You rejected your mother's witness. You walked out of that church angry. And you trampled underfoot the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you insulted the Spirit of grace. And as you are in hell, the mental torment of replaying that over and over and over without end. And then the panic as you realize that there is no escape. That 1,000 years becomes 10,000 years, becomes 1,000,000 years, becomes 1 billion, then 1 trillion, and there's no end to it. The sense of panic and alarm that goes off within the person. And it is perishing, ever perishing yet never perished, ever dying yet never dying. You could only hope that you could die, such that there would be some end to this torment, but there is no end to it.
Now, people these days, some people, but it tends to be a little bit of a trend these days in evangelical Christianity, would say, on the eternality of the doctrine of hell, that it is conditional, it is annihilation. How do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt this is everlasting torment?
Well, because the same words that are used to describe the duration of hell are the very same words that are used to describe the duration of heaven and are the same words that are used to describe the duration of God Himself. So if there is annihilation, there would also be the ceasing of God Himself to exist, and there would be the ceasing of heaven to exist. There would therefore be the ceasing of glorified saints in heaven to exist. The whole thing would come crashing down, and it is totally incongruent. It is making the Bible a wax nose to twist it to say whatever you want it to say. No, that is a totally implausible and impossible interpretation of Scripture. There is the eternality of hell because there is the eternality of God.
Some people would say that doctrine is just a New Testament doctrine. We don't see it in the Old Testament.
Well, so what's the point to that? Truths that are taught in the Old Testament come to fuller light in the New Testament. It's called progressive revelation. For example, the doctrine of the Trinity. We are somewhat challenged to piece together a definitive doctrine of the Trinity from just the Old Testament. In fact, we can't really piece it all together. But when we come to the New Testament, the light becomes brighter and brighter and brighter. And so a statement like that is really an attack on the New Testament, because most major doctrines that were initially taught in the Old Testament are like the planting of a seed that grows into a forest by the time you come to the New Testament. So, and then also, how many times does God have to say something before it's true? If it's said one time in the Old Testament, would that not be sufficient? And so, yes, it is taught in the Old Testament. It just comes to a full-orbed presentation in the New Testament with far greater detail.
Which is why we can preach from that doctrine in the Unhitched, I'm sorry, we still keep it hitched, Old Testament and New. This magazine will help your pastor to do that rightly, lovingly, thoroughly, and powerfully, because that's what Expositor Magazine is about, equipping your pastor. Would like to encourage you to give him this gift of a subscription. Please do that at wretched.org/magazine, and you will get Dr. Steve Lawson's Drive-By Theology to boot. Please consider doing that. Say now, wretched.org/magazine. This is Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Burkennis. Christian leaders, legal experts alike, warning Monday religious liberty could be in danger after the Supreme Court ruled the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity in employment. The Supreme Court, a 6-3 decision yesterday, ruled that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act makes it unlawful to fail to hire or to fire someone on the basis of their LGBT identity. Justice Neil Gorsuch, writing for the majority, said sex in the 1964 law encompasses homosexuality or transgender status. He did acknowledge the justices are deeply concerned with preserving the promises of the free exercise of religion enshrined in our Constitution, and that other cases may arise with free exercise arguments that merit careful consideration. But how those doctrines protecting religious liberty, he wrote, interact with Title VII are questions for future cases. There were some religious liberty attorneys, though, who found hope in the majority opinion's comments on religious freedom and its declaration that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 might supersede Title VII's commands in appropriate cases. Kelly Shackelford, president of First Liberty Institute, her statement probably summed it up. We are grateful that the Supreme Court was clear in the opinion that this federal statute does not overrule people's religious freedom. We will find out in the very near future whether this is a hollow promise or a truthful assurance that the religious liberty of all Americans will be protected. We will see. The Justice Department is pressuring Washington Governor John Inslee to loosen restrictions on churches, arguing the state's policy of allowing unlimited peaceful protests while capping houses of worship is discriminatory and likely unconstitutional. The Department of Justice, June 11th statement of interest in a Tacoma, Washington federal court supporting a Washington state church, argues that imposing a hard cap on all religious worship and no cap on secular gatherings constitutes unequal treatment. You think? The lawsuit against the state, brought by Harborview Fellowship in Pierce County, Washington. The federal court brief also cites Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts' May 29th opinion that suggested churches should be treated the same as comparable secular gatherings of large groups of people in close proximity for extended periods of time. Although Roberts' opinion disappointed conservatives at the time, the Justice Department hopes his comments now about large gatherings will sway the Tacoma court. We can hope. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice sent a letter to Montgomery County, Maryland officials June 10th, noting that the county allowed a protest of hundreds of persons packed into a library, yet apparently denies similar gatherings for religious exercise.
saying the council should ensure it imposes no more onerous conditions on gatherings for religious exercise than it does on gatherings for other purposes. One would think. For Wretched Radio, straight ahead, I'm Tony Verkennis.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our sanctuary. Through Christ, we find refuge from God's justice and find a safe haven where we can enter into the presence of the Holy God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You saw Elvis in like 1972, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before we go on air here. What was that like?
It was electrifying. When I was in college, I went to almost every concert. It would be on a Friday night, and then they would go to Dallas. So we got everyone who came through. I mean, I saw Diana Ross and the Supremes, the Temptations, the Four Tops, Three Dog Night, Fifth Dimension, Chicago, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Johnny Rivers. I mean, just on and on and on and on, and I'm just going blank on the rest. I mean, there are many more. You could put all of them together, and it doesn't even begin to compare to the electricity in the building when the king took the stage.
Oh, man. We're actually on the air right now. This is Dr. Steve Lawson on Wretched Radio. Little reminiscing. Going to all these concerts, I thought you were a Christian. We'll just look past that for the moment. But you, sir, saw Elvis Presley in concert. What was it, 72?
1972.
Okay, so he was still doing pretty good then. A little slurry, but still pretty commanding.
It was the spring of 73. Let me just be clear. Okay, it was 1973.
Okay, so it was right after he did Aloha from Hawaii, the satellite broadcast.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so not as good as 72, but not as bad as 74. Dr. Steve Lawson from One Passion Ministries. He is also the editor of this magazine that I hold, Expositor Magazine. If you like Elvis Presley, no, scratch that. If you would like for your pastor to get sharper at his preaching skills, this magazine, it is a game changer. I keep coming up with different words to write about this magazine, and I keep coming back to those two. Or is it a hyphenated one word? Game changer. It really is. If we want to see churches strengthened in this country, the pulpit needs to be lit on fire with expository preaching. This will encourage your pastor to keep doing it or to get in the game and start doing it, and it will equip him to do so. So get your copy, your subscription for him, wretched.org/magazine. We'll give you a gift. It's Dr. Steve Lawson doing drive-by theology. It's 40 lectures on systematic theology. You can listen to that while your pastor is reading Expositor Magazine, wretched.org/magazine. So back to Elvis. No, actually, let's get to somebody who is the king. This particular edition, preaching the holiness of God, a subject we don't get to hear about a lot these days. Now, this particular edition, I think Dr. MacArthur wrote an article in here.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, R.C. Sproul is in here.
Yes.
Because his book on the holiness of God.
That was a game changer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I was reading the book on an airplane from, I think, Los Angeles to back to maybe Minneapolis at the time. Back when Minneapolis actually had buildings standing and order and such. Yeah. Back to Minneapolis. And I think I was on the chapter that talked about Uzzah.
Yeah.
And when I read that God killed Uzzah because he was dirtier than the dirt, I started heaving. Not throwing up, but like just breathless. And it gave me a sense of maybe what Isaiah was experiencing when he saw God and heard, holy, holy, holy. That is a doctrine that gets to your core and should cause us to tremble and to love him more and to not be silly with God, to not preach trite sermons, and to not sin. So with that in mind, preaching the holiness of God, if the chief purpose of the Word of God is to glorify God, the greatest preachers are those who most highly exalt his greatness. And you list basically all of the different things in the Bible that are described as holy. So I'm going to work through that list. I'll read it. You comment. Are you prepared, sir?
We'll see.
Oh, man, here we go. the meaning of God's holiness. Let's start there. What are we dealing with?
Well,
here?
The word means separation, that there is a separation that by which God is separated from his creation. He is transcendent. He is high and exalted and lifted up, and we are lowly creatures. And second is his moral perfection, that everything about God is perfect. His will is perfect. His character is perfect. His judgments are perfect. They are flawless and without any blemish of sin. And the holiness of God is really the sum and the substance of all that God is. All of the attributes of God really are contained in the holiness of God. In a sense, it's the wholeness of God, because every attribute of God is holy. His love is holy. His wrath is holy. His truth is holy. His knowledge is holy. It is really the descriptive that qualifies every attribute of God. That is why in heaven, right this very moment, the angels around the throne of God are not singing love, 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 or truth, 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 though God is love and God is truth. They are crying out day and night without ceasing, holy, 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 because that declares the grandeur and the greatness and the glory of God in the superlative degree, that God is holy, he is holier, he is holiest in the entire universe. God alone is the holiest being that there is.
That little sermonette that you just gave with the description and the definition of the word holy, for the hurting Christian, the grieving Christian, the confused Christian, that alone is a word of comfort. And you can't help but wonder why so many Christians experience so much anxiety, because they don't hear glorious doctrines like holiness being preached in an authoritative way in the church. Now, we have got his moral holiness.
Mm-hmm. That says that every decision God makes is perfect. Every action that he takes is perfect. Every word that he speaks is perfect. That there is not one drop of defilement within God or that comes from God. And so there is therefore no need for any second guessing about God. God doesn't need a redo. God doesn't need a second time or a mulligan. God got it perfect the first time, exactly the way God wants it. Even the very time of our entrance into this world, the day of our death, the number of days that we have to live here upon the earth is absolutely perfect. I remember the day that my father passed away, and I was preaching in a conference, and I remember the phone call that I received as soon as I had finished preaching. My very first thought in the midst of my grief was, this was the perfect day for my father to pass from this world into the next world. It was the holiness of God that brought great comfort to my grieving heart. I would not want him to live one more day. I wouldn't have wanted him to have lived one less day, because everything about God is perfect, and it is inseparable from the decisions that he makes and the will that he has laid out for our lives. It's absolutely perfect. So how can I not trust God as I come to the dark times of life and the difficult places in life? There must be an element of trust in the perfect holiness of God.
What God ordains is always good. That would be moral holiness, a comfort. Judicial holiness.
Judicial holiness is that all of the verdicts of God are perfect. This goes in both directions. Both the rewarding of the saints and the retribution of the sinner is absolutely perfect. In the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth has become the very basis of our jurisprudence, which simply means that the punishment should fit the crime. For example, if you jaywalk, you should not receive the death penalty. But if you kill someone else, you should not pay a $50 fine. That the punishment should be measured exactly with the measure of the crime. God, as he renders his verdicts of reward and retribution, measures out the perfect amount of reward or the perfect amount of wrath and judgment given what either the crime or the compliance is. And so his judicial holiness is that as God presides over the affairs of men, and when the books are open and the book of life is opened, there will be perfect, pure, and flexible righteousness will be administered in every situation. The judgment will never be too heavy. It will never be too light. It will always be perfect. And the rewards that will be given to the saints, it will never be too much. It will never be too little. It will be the absolute perfect reward that will be given. So this is the judicial holiness of God.
Again, it's comforting. Honestly, it's comforting. There are so many more aspects. You cover all of them in this particular edition of Expositor Magazine, which is why we would like to help you, to encourage you to get a subscription for your pastor. Please visit wretched.org/magazine. You will send a subscription to him. He'll be blessed, and we will send Drive-By Theology with Dr. Steve Lawson to you. That would be one of those win-wins. Get it at wretched.org/magazine. Wretched.org/magazine. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks much for joining us today. We always appreciate when you spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. And now a quick quiz, because really, what can make radio more fun than thinking you're back in school? What covers tough theological issues, keeps you up to date on all things new at Wretched? It is absolutely free, and it's delivered to your inbox every month. Yeah, I know, that was an easy one. It is obviously the Wretched newsletter. Are you signed up for yours yet? Wretched.org/newsletter will get it done for you. Wretched.org/newsletter. Every month you receive updates not only on what's going on here at Wretched, and believe you me, there's always stuff going on here at Wretched. Plus, you'll get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues that Christians face today. So come on, be one of the cool kids. Get your Wretched newsletter delivered to you every month at wretched.org/newsletter. Easy peasy. Wretched.org/newsletter. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
It's June, and Christmas practically right around the corner. So now is the perfect time to find your loved ones the perfect gift. So why not find that gift in the Wretched store June 12th through the 14th during our Wretched Summer Sale? Be sure to use the promo code SING, that's S-I-N-G, for 50% off Wretched resources. But wait, there's more. I love saying that in commercials. Every order of $40 or more will get 5 free advanced copies of our newest resource, 13 Reasons You Should Not Commit Suicide. There is so much to find at the Wretched store, so visit wretched.org and just wander about. You'll find our newest resource, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, or a crowd favorite, Herman Who, and a whole lot more. Visit wretched.org/sale June 12th through the 14th. Use the promo code SING and receive 50% off Wretched resources. The Wretched Sale at wretched.org/sale June 12th through the 14th.
Attributes of God.
Psalm 115, verse 3 says that God does all that he pleases. God is sovereign over his whole creation. He has the right and the power to govern all things according to his will. Nothing occurs in your life that God, in his sovereignty, has not allowed. He is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If in your church ain't evangelizing, maybe that's because your pulpit isn't evangelizing. This is Wretched Radio. In studio, Dr. Steve Lawson. You got that degree online, didn't you? You can buy those these days, don't you?
No, I had to earn it. It's an earned degree, sir.
We could buy you an apostle degree if you would like.
I'll pass on that.
I'm not kidding. Dr. Steve Lawson, who actually has an earned degree, he is the editor of Expositor Magazine. He's also the president of One Passion Ministries, and your passion is to see pulpits that are set on fire, rightly expositing the Word of God. And this magazine is a gift that every pastor should receive to get on board with God's priority, which is preaching the Word of God. It drives the direction of the church for the entire week. Please consider getting a copy, or rather a subscription, for your pastor. Expositor Magazine, you can do that at wretched.org/magazine, wretched.org/magazine. You give him this gift of a subscription. We'll give you Drive-By Theology with Apostle Steve Lawson. It'll be all yours. Visit wretched.org/magazine, wretched.org/magazine.
Todd, I'm but your humble servant.
Evangelism in the Pulpit. This is only edition number 3.
Yeah, that was early on.
Going back to 2015.
Yeah.
Yikes. Evangelism in the Pulpit. Okay, I think I know what that looks like. We preach a sermon on how to be a better father, and then we talk about parenting tips and, you know, how to bring your son fishing. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, then this is your moment. So bow your head and close your eyes and repeat after me. That's evangelism in the pulpit, right?
Not quite, Todd.
What is it?
Well, it is preaching the full counsel of God. It is preaching the theology of the Bible. It is preaching the grand truths of the Bible. It is preaching the holiness of God and all the attributes of God. It is preaching the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is preaching heaven and hell. It is preaching Christ and him crucified. It is preaching all of the truths of Scripture. It is preaching the necessary evidences of the new birth. It is preaching sanctification. And if you do not see sanctification taking place in your life, it is every truth in the Bible in one way or another has evangelistic firepower to bring souls to faith in Christ.
When we consider evangelism in the pulpit these days, it usually is kind of that tack on at the end, a minute or two dedicated to giving some sort of a gospel proclamation. Do we see that pattern in the Bible where the apostles say in the book of Acts, now this is the time when you ask Jesus into your heart?
No, we do not see that. In fact, nowhere in the Bible does it say, ask Jesus into your heart. That's an American invention. I have no problem, and in fact would only encourage sermons to have a strong evangelistic impact at the end. It's just that if you only confine it to the end, then it's going to be very shallow. We could take the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus in Matthew 5-7. Jesus concludes that sermon by saying, enter through the narrow gate. And so there was an evangelistic appeal at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And there is in others, such as the book of Hebrews, which is really an evangelistic sermon. But even in the book of Hebrews, these warning passages are sprinkled and filtered throughout the entire book of Hebrews, such that there's a building argument, and it's all wrapped around sound doctrine of the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So evangelistic preaching is not just a tack on at the end of a sermon. There is a sense in which the whole sermon is evangelistic, in that you are magnifying the truths that are being taught in Scripture and showing them in light of eternity, in light of the cross, in light of who you are and where you stand before God.
To give a demonstration of that, I would like to give you a Bible verse. And this is going to encompass a lot of things that we've been talking about in regard to expository preaching. I'm going to give you one Bible verse, and I would like for you, without, you don't have any notes, you don't even have your Bible in front of
you. And I have no idea what verse you're about to give me.
And I'm going to, and I'm going to give it to you. And if you would be so kind, exposit that verse leading to an evangelistic call at the end that isn't disjointed.
This, you're putting a lot of pressure on
me here.
Piece
of cake.
Yeah, okay.
I'm putting this one up on the T for you.
Okay.
You brought up Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see the kingdom of God go.
Well, it begins with the word blessed, which makarios in the Greek, which means favored or graced by God. If you're not blessed, you are cursed. And everyone is either blessed by God or they are cursed by God. They are either in the kingdom and the object of God's eternal blessing, or they are cursed and are under the wrath of God. So Jesus begins by pronouncing that the grace and the favor and the mercy of God will be exclusively upon the one who, first of all, is poor in spirit. The word poor there is tokos in the original language, which is the poorest of the poor. There are many different words that were used. This one refers to the beggar who can only extend an empty hand. He has nothing to commend to anyone else. He is at the mercy of those who are passing by to put something into an empty hand. He is so humbled that he cannot even look up into the face of those who are walking by. And he has absolutely nothing. It is this poverty of spirit, not poverty of bank account, not poverty of pocketbook, but a far more serious poverty, which is a poverty of spirit, that we are sinners and we have no spiritual capital with which to commend ourselves to God. We have nothing to bring to God except the sin that was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one will ever be blessed by God until they declared spiritual bankruptcy before Almighty God. No one enters the kingdom of heaven until they have confessed that they have nothing by which to commend themselves to God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The verb are means right now. It's not talking about a future kingdom after the second coming, but it's in the present tense, this very moment. If you will humble yourself unto God and declare your bankruptcy and acknowledge that you need the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he alone can provide through his sinless life and through his substitutionary death. If you will plead your case before God, have mercy upon me, the sinner, you will have the riches of heaven deposited into your account. And that verse ends, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs and theirs alone. Theirs and theirs only. It's very emphatic. Only these enter into the kingdom of heaven. No one enters into the presence of a holy God until they have declared their own unholiness. But if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The kingdom of God here is the kingdom within the heart as one comes under the dominion and comes under the reign of Almighty God, who is a saving God, who delights in pouring out his mercy and his grace upon unworthy sinners. And so today, if you would come to that place in your life where you recognize that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that you have no spiritual capital whatsoever with which to earn your way into a place of acceptance with God, that all you can do is plead that you need mercy, that you have nothing to offer to God. And if you will throw yourself upon his mercy and believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God will open the vaults of heaven and pour out the riches of his forgiveness and his righteousness upon you. And you will be reconciled to him, and you will be adopted into his family, and you will become an heir with God and a fellow heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. You will go from poverty to the very penthouse, if you will, of heaven. You will go from having nothing to inheriting everything. You will go from being bankrupt to now being a son of the king and sharing in all of the riches that are his. And so this very moment, if you would believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would confess your sin, if you would plead your case that you have nothing to offer but to call upon his mercy, then he will be pleased to forgive you and to entrust to you all that his son has purchased through his sin-bearing substitutionary death upon the cross. We have been redeemed, not with things inherited from our former way of life, but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon him while he is near. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That would be our prayer for you this day. Dr. Steve Lawson, thank you. Would still encourage you to help your pastor to preach evangelistically like that. Would like to encourage you to give him a gift, a subscription to Expositor Magazine. We would also like to gift you Drive-By Theology. Please consider doing that at wretched.org/magazine. Wretched.org/magazine. Can't thank you enough, Dr. Lawson. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.